You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, and I invite you to come out to one of our services. If you enjoy what you hear here on this program here, and happy Friday to all of you as well, weekend here right around the corner, why don't you consider coming by Island this weekend? We would love to. We welcome you. We all would greet you as a wonderful church, wonderful, warm, friendly church family. As far as the preaching, you know what to expect if you listen in on this program. We are looking at Moses. We are looking this week at, where's my sermon? Here it is, Moses and the Name of God. We'll be in Exodus chapter 3, and then we're going to follow that name of God as the Son of God applies that name to himself in the New Testament. So we're in a five-week series on Moses. This is week 3. If you'd like to hear the other weeks, you can go to islandcommunitychurch.net. That's our church's website. Learn much more about the church and our statement of faith on there as well. Again, islandcommunitychurch.net. Okay, we're going to hear a sermon from about a month or so back from our series in Ephesians. And we are going to look here today at the blood of Christ. In whom we have redemption, Paul wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins.
Redeemed by the blood. We got off to an awesome start last week, didn't we, here in this? It's always something. Why do I want audio? Thank you, Danny. We started off last week in Ephesians. Remember, I gave that word picture last week of God in his voting booth and closing those curtains. Remember? That's where we left off. Could you imagine that? Here it is, the first Tuesday after the first Monday. God's in his voting booth, and he closes that lever, and he pulls down the lever with your name on it. And then he opens it up. And then he calls Nancy to count your vote. Not. He counts his own votes. He doesn't need any help, thank you. How crooked is that? I love the word picture of God choosing or electing me. God has elected me. I'm an elected official, chosen by God himself. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 1. We left off looking at the sovereignty of God and how he chose us even before he made the world. God is the one responsible for our salvation, not we ourselves. Because you don't have it in it to save yourself. More on that next week when we get to chapter 2. Let's begin today in chapter 1. Verse 7. If you got your Bibles, we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's on the handout as well if you don't have a Bible with you. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. As much as liberal Christian denominations try, you can't do away with the blood of Jesus Christ because it's a bloody gospel. All the way back to the beginning, the Bible says that God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. Where do you suppose the skins came from? I'll tell you. From innocent bystanders. An innocent bystander had to die to clothe Adam and Eve with skin. You can't remove the blood from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that song we sang this morning that I picked out, In Christ Alone, has an interesting story behind it. It seems that the Presbyterian Church USA, known as the PCUSA, had a little problem with that song, In Christ Alone. So they changed the lyrics a little bit to satisfy themselves. At least they tried to. And the song goes, if you remember, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. They changed that. Well, I'll read the news story from the dreaded Huffington Post. This is how it reads. Fans of a beloved contemporary Christian hymn won't get any satisfaction in the new church hymnal. The committee putting together a new hymnal for the Presbyterian Church USA dropped the popular hymn In Christ Alone because the song's authors refused to change the phrase about the wrath of God. The original lyrics say, on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Now, the Presbyterian Committee on Congregational Song wanted to substitute the words, the love of God was magnified. So they wanted to take out the wrath of God was satisfied to the love of God was magnified. The song's authors, Stuart Townsend and Keith Getty, objected. So the committee voters voted to drop the song altogether. The songwriters said, ultimately, taketh a royal hike, yonder Presbyterians. Critics say the proposed change was sparked by liberals wanting to take God's wrath out of the hymnal. The committee says, and I quote, there's plenty of wrath in the new hymnal, unquote. In other words, never fear, don't worry, there's still plenty of wrath in your little hymnal, all of you blood lovers out there, Bela Lugosi and all the rest of you. Don't worry, there's still plenty of your wrath of God. Their response just reeks of sarcasm and disdain for the blood of Christ and for the wrath of God. You see, our sin brings about the wrath of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a bloody gospel. And people don't want to hear that because they don't want to face the fact that they are sinners and that a price was and will be required for your sins. And that cross is a picture of how serious God regards sin. That's why we gather here this morning and sing about blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now the word redemption, this word apolytrosis, it means to let go free for a ransom. To let go free for a ransom. Now let's follow this trail of blood this morning. I don't expect you to turn there. They're on the handout. I'm going to go in order. This is what we're preaching on here this morning. Starting in the Old Testament, I'll read them to you. Starting with Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Hebrews 9:22, the next one I've got written down. It says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, that word for remission means to release one's sins. Ephesus is the Greek word. To release one's sins. Let me read that verse again. According to the law, that means just like it says in the Old Testament, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, your sins cannot be released, is what he's saying. God retains your sins without a Savior. That's why Paul shouted out, who will deliver me from this body of death? You and I, friend, we need a Savior. Because the wages of sin is death. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Someone asked me, I think it was Steve asked me, about what to say to a Jewish person right before they die. Which Old Testament verse should I quote for them? Deuteronomy 6:4 or Deuteronomy 4:6. And I said to him, neither. Neither's going to take away your sins. What do you say? You say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I plead the blood over my sins. And I receive the Son of God. May his blood cleanse me from my sins. Like the Bible, that's your only hope. Is that the one who died for you, that his blood would cover over your sins. There's no Old Testament verse in the world that's going to deliver you from sin. Only blood. Only blood. That's why we sing about it and thank and praise God for it. In whom we have redemption, that is to pay the price with a ransom. The ransom was his blood. The victim was you. The Savior, his name is Jesus. And he took your place, shed his blood. God, this is this big word. I'm going to read the verse for you. The word you read is called propitiation. We're about to get to in a minute. Propitiation means an acceptable sacrifice. That means God said, all right, I'll honor that. Here's the verse, Romans 3:23 and 24. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. And this, Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, and he obtained eternal redemption. There's that word again, right? Each time we read redemption, we read blood, and we read you. That's good news. He took you out of the slave market. You were standing as a slave, and Jesus said, I'll take you, 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 I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take even you, Richie. And here's the price, my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You see, someone has to die for Richie and me to get saved and everybody else. Someone had to die. Back for Adam and Eve's time, it was a poor, innocent animal. Never did anything wrong. Back in our time, it's the poor, innocent Son of God who never did anything wrong either. He Hebrews 9, that's where I was at, verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, meaning it's not going to happen again. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Like you see some images of Jesus still on a, he's not on a cross anymore. He's off the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's not on a cross. He's ruling and reigning in heaven. He's not on a cross anymore. You can't spit in his eye, rip out his beard. He's in heaven. He's not on the cross. He's victorious over the cross. You guys got me wound up now with that music. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, capital S, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And this from the Apostle Peter. He says, knowing you were not redeemed. Notice the pattern here. Here again, we're going to have redeem your soul and the one agent. Blood. Notice, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Up. No one's going to buy you out of this either. No purgatory. I don't care how much money Uncle Leroy has. He ain't buying you out anywhere. There's only one thing to set you free. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Not with silver, not with gold, and not with prayers. Only one thing. That's what we're here to celebrate today. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, even mine and yours. Knowing that, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Can you imagine that? My family had to do that. My family gave probably 50 acres in Madison, New Jersey to the Catholic Church to buy my grandfather out of hell, purgatory. That property now is probably worth in the three-digit millions. And isn't God perfect in all of his ways? That if I would have inherited that when I was a kid, I'd be dead, wouldn't be here right now. I would have killed myself with all that money. Back when I was 20 years old, I wouldn't be here today. Isn't that proof once again that all things work together for good? You can lose everything that you have, and all things work together for good to those that love God. The Esposito family lost it all. No one can take my joy that I have this morning. I'm the happiest man on earth. And my family lost everything to the Catholic Church. You're not redeemed by silver or gold or prayers. Prayers don't redeem you. Blood redeems you. Blood. I wonder how long this video will stay on YouTube, Darren. Knowing, let's try it for a third time to get through this verse. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. Yeah, your grandfather and your dad told you how to do it this way, right? At least for them. There is no grandfather in the faith back for when Peter wrote this. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's 1 Peter 1:18. Now, you want to take away the blood out of your hymnal? You're either a devil or you're a fool. After everything that we just read, you want to take blood out of the hymnal? Where would you be without the blood of Jesus Christ? You want to take it out of your hymnal? Here's just a few for disregarding or not recognizing. I like that one better. Not recognizing the power of the blood and the significance of the blood. This is why we do communion the way that we do. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 11:27. This is what I always or usually read to you, almost every communion. Paul says, "Wherefore, whosoever will eat this bread and drink this cup is communion. Whoever will eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and so let him eat and drink. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Just like the Indiana Jones movie, "You've chosen poorly." Remember that? Drinks the cup there, he turns into a skeleton and a hair. He says, "He's chosen poorly." Don't you remember that movie? He grabbed the wrong cup and drank from it and it killed him. That's biblical. That's what he's saying here. When you take something like the blood of Christ and treat it in a flippant manner like communion and treat it like Hawaiian punch and Twinkies, he says, this is what can happen to you. "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation," or really a better word is judgment, "to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Meaning there's more there to this communion than you realize, friend. It's not Hawaiian punch and Twinkies. There's more to the blood of Christ than that. Guilty of the blood. What do you think of that crime now, knowing what you know now about the significance of the blood? Here's one more, Hebrews 10. Verse 26 says, "If we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Man, oh man, do you understand the importance and the significance of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? You and I are redeemed by the power, or you and I are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I overcome all evil forces in this world by the blood of Jesus Christ. We just sang the song, "There's power in the blood, power in the blood." One more, 1 John 1:7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." It's the blood. But the reason that Satan hates the blood so much is because of its significance and its power, and it's the only cure for sinful man is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that redeems us. The blood pays the ransom. All right, now we're talking about the blood of Christ here this morning. Here's a few more. When we leave here this morning, we'll have a working knowledge of the Savior's blood and its power. This is my sermon here. Revelation 1:5. "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Revelation 5:9. "They sang a new song," this is up in heaven, "saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood." The last one, Revelation 12:11, speaking of the devil. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb Now remember, when you get to Revelation, it's a symbolic book. You got to understand what the symbols mean. The lamb is the son of God. The dragon is the devil. So that's all. It's just apocalyptic. You just got to understand what the symbols mean. It's not that difficult. They overcame him by the blood of the lamb. Easy to understand. We've got the victory due to the blood of Jesus Christ. We overcome Satan in this world by the blood and by the word of our testimony. That means I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. Take it up with him. He's my Savior. I've received him. Take it up with him. That's how we overcome. All right, verse 11. Move on just a little bit here. Paul writes, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him," capital H, "who works all things according to the counsel of his will." So in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Here's another for our heavenly bank account that we looked at, started last week, inheritance. Funny too, this word for obtain means to cast lots. And the lot fell on you. But what the Bible says, that's not by chance. But the lot has fallen on you for obtain. Of him, in him, we have obtained. The lot has fallen on you to receive Jesus Christ. And it's no accident. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. You know, who would you rather inherit from? Your Aunt Thelma's Lawrence Welk radio collection? Or Jesus Christ, would you rather inherit from God or something meaningless here on earth? In him, in Christ, you and I have received an inheritance. Think about that. Of all the inheritances you've gotten in your life or haven't got, or someone robbed from you, someone stole from you, some devil took, some politician took, some thief broke in and stole. You and I have an inheritance in Christ. In him, we have obtained, that's by lot. The lot has fallen on you this morning. No one can take it. What do you do with it?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Thank you.